Let's pray, and before we look at God's words, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the chance we have to be here and to praise and worship your name. We thank you for giving us Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you for the hope of salvation that we can find in him, Lord. We pray for this country. We pray for Ireland. We pray for the leaders of this country, Lord. We know so many people suffering for many different reasons, housing, unemployment, addiction. We pray for them, Lord. We pray that the leaders of the country will take decisions that won't be based on their own interests, but for the well-being of the citizens, Lord, of those who live in here. And I pray that godly people, people that trust in you, people that know your word, they will stand up and speak up, Lord, speak up. And that they will make the difference here in this nation, Lord. We pray for those who are not well, for those who are weak, for those who are facing illness. We pray for their recovery, Lord. We pray that they will have the assurance that they are not alone, that you are with them, Lord. You are their strength. We pray that you will work in the lives of those who are suffering, those who are struggling, Lord. You know people's heart, you know people's needs, and we know that you can help, Lord. You provide. You are our helper, and we thank you for that. We pray for this church. We thank you for the community we are part here, Lord. We thank you for this building. We thank you for the freedom we have to gather here, to celebrate, to praise your name, Lord. And please help us not to take it for granted. Help us to make good use of this space. Help us to make good use of our freedom to share your word, to impact our community here, Lord. I've heard that there are more than 40,000 people here in Swords. Just help us to talk to one person at a time. Help us to target an individual and just to share your message with them, Lord, because we know that your message is powerful. Just give us the courage to talk to people and to share your message, Lord. I also pray for Johnny, our lead pastor, and yeah, he'll be back in 2 weeks. And I just pray that Johnny, Yvonne, and Sam, and Harry, that they will be having a good time away and enjoying Johnny's sabbatical, Lord. And help us as a church to benefit from this time as well, Lord, in a way that whenever he comes back, he will be able to share all the things that he learned and experienced, Lord. And I thank you so much for everyone that helps here at the church, those who volunteer, because if it wasn't for the sound, the person on sound, person on projection, musicians, people welcoming and on duties and refreshments, it would be hard for us to do what we do here, Lord, for the teachers and so many people helping and making it possible for us to come here, to sit and to listen to your voice and to respond as we worship and praise, Lord. I thank you for every single person that helps here and for those who are part of this church community, Lord. I thank you for their lives. And I also pray that you will speak to us this morning as you've been talking to us already, Lord. Please use my life as an instrument in your hand, that it won't be me speaking, but your Holy Spirit through my life as we reflect in 1 Peter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, as I said, today is our Family Sunday. And kids, you can stay here with us. There's no kids zone, so primary school, age kids, you are very welcome to stay here with us. Parents, you don't have to be worried about any noises or whatever. I have 2 kids and I know that it can be noisy sometimes. It's totally fine. And because today is our family service, and because we are getting close to the end of our series, Finding Peace in a Pressure Cooker World, we just found that it would be good for us to have a quick recap. to look back to the things that we saw here over these 10 weeks. And also because the kids are here and they will be able to get a taste of what we've been looking at. So kids, pay attention, and I hope everyone here will have something in mind to share at the table. Whenever you go to have dinner with your family, just share something that struck you this morning, something that came to your mind, and maybe you'll be able to have a conversation about something that we spoke here this morning, just not just now about during the sermon, but maybe the songs or about the things that the teenagers mentioned. So I hope it will happen. And as we start, if you have your Bible there with you, you can turn it to 1 Peter chapter 1. And if you don't, you can just follow on the screen. Because we start seeing that Peter, he's sending a message of encouragement to his brothers and sisters who were suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ. People chosen by God. And as he said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Those who were born again. These people, they were suffering because of their faith. And Peter, he's encouraging them to persevere, to keep on going. But the question is, why? Why should they persevere? Why should they keep on going? And the answer can be found in chapter 1, verse 9. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Their hope is placed in the assurance that Jesus would, or that Jesus will save them in the end. Their body may suffer, but there will be a reward. They were suffering there. They were far from home. They were feeling isolated. Maybe they were being persecuted, as they were. But there was hope. And Peter is sharing this message of hope. I'm going to share a situation that happened 3 years ago. Maybe you saw me running after my kids here for a short while. They were here, but now they are in creche. And they are 3.5 years old now. And in the end of 2020, they were learning how to walk. And it's interesting because all the other animals, once they are born, they start walking, but for us, no, it takes time for us to learn. And it's funny because we don't really teach our kids how to walk. They just look at us and they copy the way we do things and they start walking. So I knew that they would fall, that they would hit their heads, they would get hurt, they would cry. However, they had to go through this process of learning how to walk. Because now they can run, they can walk, they can jump, they can do many things because of that. Because they went through this process. Kids, I have a short video here. I hope it will work. So let's see what's in there. I think you have to play enter or something like that. If it doesn't work, I can explain. That was the first moment when Amelie and Dylan, my son and daughter, they started walking. Not together, because she started maybe 3-4 weeks before Dylan. And that was the first moment they walked together. It's just a short video, but it doesn't matter. So they were walking together. And their first steps, sometimes they fall. They still fall. They hit their heads. And if you look at Dylan, he has a scar here on his forehead. One day he hit something and there was total despair for us. But it happens. When Peter was talking to his brothers and sisters, he was saying, you know what? Life will be difficult. You may face some struggles, some persecution. People will mock you. But you know what? Don't lose sight of what lies ahead. Keep this hope fresh in your hearts. Never lose sight of the finish line. Remember that you are not alone. Remember that God is with you. Because it was hard for them, and it may be hard for you to live your Christian life. But remember that there will be one day that we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ, with God. And this day will be amazing. We will just forget about everything that happened in the past. All the struggles, all the persecution, people mocking you, and all of that. It will just vanish, disappear. Because we will be with Him forever. And we can't actually measure our life considering eternity. It's just a small dot in the line of eternity, if we can say that. It's just a tiny part of eternity, what we are living here. And it is worth it. I can say that. It is worth it. And Peter was encouraging his brothers and sisters to keep going. And here's a question for you. Do you fear rejection? Are you afraid of being mocked because of your faith? Be honest with yourself. You don't have to answer out loud. Again, you are not alone. You are not alone. Other people share the same concern, the same fear of being mocked or being rejected, persecuted. Maybe you have in your mind, but what if I don't know what to say? And what if people look at my life and if they see that I'm not perfect? What if I want to start a conversation with people and they have a question and I don't know the right biblical answer for that question? Do you think that I'm not ready? Remember that you have been rescued. Look at chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like a sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You have been rescued. You have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the process of perfection, remember I was talking about the fear of not knowing the answer, the fear of people looking at your life and saying that you are not perfect. This process of holiness in your life, or as we can see in chapter 1, verse 2, sanctification of your soul. This process is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the one working in your life. He is the one shaping your life according to God's will. Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, He's the one in charge of that. And if you're here this morning and you're just investigating, you look around and you think, I don't belong here yet. I haven't placed my trust, my faith in Jesus Christ yet. I don't know if I should. I'm here just investigating. I've been coming here for maybe a week or 10 years, and I haven't committed yet. Here's a message for you. Don't wait to be good enough to come to Jesus. Come as you are. Again, don't wait to be good enough to come to Jesus. Just come as you are. remember that God loves you. And there is nothing that will make him love you more or less. We don't have this power. We don't have the power to change how much God loves us. He just loves us. And that's part of his nature. And he loves you exactly as you are. Maybe there are things in your life that don't please him. Yes, there are things in my life that don't please God. And I'm on this process of changing these things, this process of sanctification. But don't wait until you're good enough. And if you have this in your mind, here's a little prayer that you can pray. Just saying, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Again, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It is simple. It's just between you and God. It's just you and God. And you can pray that. There's nothing magical about these words. It could be anything else. It's just a first step for you. If you don't really know what to say, what to do, you can use these words. These are just guidelines. You can use your own words. You can just come before God and say, God, I don't know what to say. However, I want to be part of these chosen people. I want to be there. I want to be with you. I want to be with you forever. Please help me. And we talk about God's mercy. Kids, here's something for you to keep in mind. And if your parents or whoever came with you forgot that, you have a mission to tell them, okay? Mercy. Mercy is when you don't receive what you deserve. Mercy, remember that. Mercy is when you don't receive what you deserve. And here's another word, grace. Grace is when you receive what we don't deserve. Mercy and grace. Mercy is when someone comes to you and when you did something wrong and the person says, it's fine. I forgive you. And here's something special for you. That's mercy. You deserved something, but this person didn't give you that, and he offered or she offered something better. And grace is when you receive something amazing that you didn't deserve. Someone comes to you and say, you know what, you don't deserve that. You have done nothing to receive that, but here's a gift for you. And our gift is Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life, no blemish, nothing wrong with him. He died for us. And what have we done? Nothing. He just gave himself in our place. He died for us. And kids, another thing for you. You know when some people come to us and they say, who is your favorite superhero? And you say, I don't know, I think I'm too old for that, but Superman and Batman and Yu-Gi-Oh, I don't know, something like that. You could say that Jesus is your superhero. There's a song that the kids sing every now and then. We say, Jesus is our superhero. You're my God, my best friend. And you know what? Because he did something real for you. He's not a fictional character. He's real. He's real. And he gave his life for you. He is your real superhero. You can say that. And you know what? Some people will come to you and say, what? So you can say that. No worries. God gives us his mercy and his grace through Jesus Christ. And at moments when we see that we are not acting according to what
is expected of a follower of Christ, we can ask for forgiveness. When we do wrong things, when we do things that we know that they don't please God, we can ask for forgiveness. Being reminded that our sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ at the cross. And for this reason, we shall obey him. Chapter 2, verse 21 says, "To these you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." The example is there. It's Jesus. He is our example. Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to live my life. I don't know how to act. The example is Jesus Christ. You need to know him. We need to know how we reacted or how he acted. And that's how we should live our lives. He is our example. We need to follow his steps. When people say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, mean it when you say that. Because when you're following someone, you're copying what the other person is doing and going where the person's going. If you say that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, know him well, and be sure that you are living in the way that he lived his life, following his steps. And when do we know that we are in this process? Remember, I was talking about sanctification. Peter was talking about that. And how do we know that this process is happening in our lives? How do we know that we are there? Once we know, once we start loving what God loves, and we start rejecting what God rejects, hating, that's a very strong word, but it is true. When we start hating what God hates, we will live lives in line with God's will. So once we start loving what God loves and hating what he hates, we will live lives in line with God's will. When we start living like that, some people might turn their backs on you. I was talking to someone years ago, and the person said, "You know what? One day I came to my family, and I said that I was following Jesus Christ. They just ignored me. They never spoke to me again in the same way. It was like I wasn't part of the family anymore." Maybe you have to be ready for that. And that's okay. Others will say that you look strange, or that you are weird, that you are a foreigner. You look foreigner in a spiritual sense. But that's okay. We shouldn't expect praise from other people. We need to keep our eyes on what God has prepared for us, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That's our hope. This inheritance that never perish, spoil, or fade. A life with Jesus Christ, eternal life with him. And it's not that God has just prepared something for us and we need to get there. We need to achieve. We need to grab our hands and get that. But through the process, we are alone. No, it's not like that. He is with us all the time. During the process, he is with us. I have this picture in my mind that it's pretty much like if we are here inside the building and it's lashing rain outside, and your car, it's 30 meters from here. And you need to go from point A to point B. But it's lashing rain. You know where you have to go, but These 30 meters will be very hard for you. You'll get wet. And it's not that God is here telling you, "Okay, Hafa, you are here. You have to go there. Shall we go?" No, he's the one who comes with an umbrella and say, come with me, I'm going to bring you there. That's the way, here's the way, that's the place I'm telling you that you will go, and I will bring you there. That's what he's doing. He protects us. We say many things that God's our protector, he's our stronghold, he's our fortress. We sing that. But do you really mean that? Do you have this assurance in your heart that he is your protection? Reflect on that and be sure that he is. Be sure that he is. He's the one with the umbrella walking you through the rain, lashing rain. He is the one with you. And as we conclude, it's kind of short today because it's a family service. So we are concluding now. You shouldn't fear opposition. You shouldn't fear persecution, because these things, they will refine your faith. It is all part of the sanctifying process, this process of holiness, as you call it. As we obey Jesus and as we follow his steps, we will become more and more like him. We will become more and more like Jesus. We may suffer as he did. We may be mocked as he was. But living with God and spending eternity with him, it is worth it. Whenever you feel like a spiritual foreigner, an alien, because of your faith and because of your belief in Jesus Christ, you know what to do? Rejoice. Rejoice. Because it means that you are going in the right direction towards Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the words we can reflect on, the way Peter wrote this letter to the scattered church. And we can benefit from that, Lord. We thank you for the message of hope and encouragement that we can get from it, Lord. And please help us as a church to stand together. Help us to persevere, Lord. Give us the strength that we need. Because it is hard. It is simple, but it is hard. It's not easy. But when we are with you, because you are with us all the time, Lord, it becomes easier. Just help us to have this picture in our minds every single day. Help us to wake up in the morning knowing that we don't belong here to this place. We are your children, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They are citizens of heaven. And I trust in you, and I trust in this truth, Lord. Help us to share this message with others. And I pray for those who are not sure about where they stand. I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in their lives. I pray that today it's just a first step in their lives. I pray that they will recognize that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, the Son of the living God, and that they will ask for your mercy in their lives, because they are sinners. In the same way that we are here, Lord. But we have someone who died for us, who died for our sin, and has cleansed us. And for this reason, we don't have to fear death. We thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for the opportunity we have to gather here together, Lord. Please keep on blessing us as we sing together our last two songs, and bring us back to our homes in safety and help us to spend good time with our family, or even for those who are alone, that they will reflect on you with the assurance that they are not alone, Lord, that you are with them. Help us as a church to stand together for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.